We begin with the U.S. involvement in another conflict zone. 80 U.S. troops heading to a base in Chad in Central Africa to join the fight against the Nigerian Boko Haram terror group holding hundreds of schoolgirls hostage since their kidnapping in Nigeria last month. The troops will set up an Air Force base for Predator surveillance drones and share that intelligence with Nigerian troops who say they may be closing in on the site where the girls are being held. What are the risks and capabilities here? Dr. Jeff Porter is assistant professor with the Combating Terrorism Center at West Point, founder of North Africa Risk Consulting Incorporated, a consulting firm specializing in political and security risks in North Africa. Dr. Porter, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, John. How are you?
Great. So let's talk about the capabilities of Predator drones here. And your familiarity is North Africa. It's a slightly different terrain in Nigeria, but I'm sure you understand what is possible here.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the deployment of the drones in Chad will be principally to gain what is called ISR, Intelligence Surveillance Reconnaissance Information. Now, it's going to be difficult because it's a forested terrain, or parts of northern Nigeria are forested, so that makes it difficult for the drone to penetrate the cover. But nonetheless, you know, having an eye in the sky is going to be a tremendous asset for the Nigerians to the degree that the U.S. is willing to share the information that it's able to gather.
I'm wondering how symbolic this is. I mean, couldn't this be done from Virginia or Arizona? I mean, you don't necessarily need to be nearby to operate a drone capability.
You don't need to be nearby to fly it, but you do need to be nearby to have it take off and land. They don't have infinite ranges. And it's convenient to have them in the region where they can either be deployed to gather intelligence on the movements of Boko Haram or potentially elsewhere in the region. We do know that Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, AQIM, continues to be active in Mali, also in southern Libya.
What of the capability that exists in Yemen would be applicable here?
Well, you know, again, just as drones do not have infinite ranges, we do not have an infinite number of drones. And there are multiple areas in which we would like to use them. And the ones that are currently being used in Yemen are dedicated to a specific fight, namely the tracking of movements of Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula. But here we want to make sure that we get ahead of the curve on Boko Haram.
But in Yemen, I mean, those drones were used to actually shoot targets. I'm wondering if that is possible here and if the lessons from Yemen can be applied in a very different geographic environment in northern Nigeria.
Well, there are specific agreements that the United States government has with the Yemeni government regarding the use of armed drones, and I do not believe those agreements are in place in Africa at the moment.
So the rules of engagement would be no bang-bang from these drones, only pictures.
That's correct, and I think it's part of a new approach to counterterrorism where the United States prefers to have its partner nations at the tip of the spear, and the United States will help out in advisory capacity, intelligence capacity, and logistics capacity, and thereby we sidestep the political blowback of being engaged in the fight.
But is there a limit to what the Nigerians can actually do to act on some of this information? I mean, it's my understanding that the drone capability works best with very advanced special ops capability, like was the case in the raid that took out Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, that's correct as well. There are some units of the Nigerian military which are very capable, but the effectiveness of the intelligence gathered by the drones flying out of N'Djamena in Chad will depend to a large extent on how much intelligence is shared with the Nigerians. And there are certainly reservations in the United States about the comportment of the Nigerian military and their adherence to rules of war and the avoidance of human rights abuses.
Finally, you know, in the old days, in the Cold War days, when a conflict would explode or begin to get tense, the first step that the U.S. military would take would be to move ships into the region. You'd get a battleship or a battleship group or maybe an Aegis cruiser moved to the region as a way of projecting force. Now it seems like the drones are the first step. Is that a change in strategy in terms of getting involved in counterterrorism?
Yes, it is. You know, there are several drivers for that shift in strategy. The fundamental one is budgetary constraints. We just don't have the fiscal maneuverability that we had in the past. And I think we're, you know, much more cautious about how we're allocating our resources around the world. Secondly, there is, I think, political reluctance in the United States to send troops overseas. And then thirdly, this is something that we do exceptionally well.
And we'll see how that works against Boko Haram in Nigeria. Dr. Jeff Porter, assistant professor with the Combating Terrorism Center at West Point and founder of the North Africa Risk Consulting Firm, a consulting firm specializing in political and security risk in North Africa. Dr. Porter, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.